Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're being joined by Round County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. Dr. Blevins, it's always good to have you on the show.
Good day. Glad to be here.
Well, we've gotten into the summer months, and obviously that's got to be helping things with your construction of the new jail.
Things are moving forward. We are pretty much on progress, on time on our progress. We had one little change order. I think there's another one coming, but so far most of them have been relatively small, and we're a little over $100,000. Of course, we had about $1 million in the contingency. So I think yesterday was around, I'm trying to find my numbers here, but it was around $7,000 or something like that to fix them. Here it is, exactly, $7,769.33. And was trying to get the metal door frames to fit exactly right, and so they had to do some engineering and changing a few things here. So we're doing great compared to a lot of places. The contingency fund would be, this time of the project, could be less than half even, or even more than half. So we've been blessed in that respect.
People have heard us talk about the change orders regarding the jail project, and these are ordered by a state inspector who comes out to review the project as it's in progress. And the one thing we need to, again, mention is that it's not unusual what's happening.
No, this is pretty normal, especially, taking a $20 million project. It's just hard to get everything exactly right, especially when you start building it. You run into some problems, and you find things that maybe you should have addressed a little differently. So we're pleased. I think the construction, Trace Creek's happy, too, because, I know that some of the other projects they've had at least 20%, maybe even more.
Been by that building. I go by it every day on my way home from work or to work, and things are really shaping up nicely.
Yeah, it's looking like a real building now, and, of course, I'll get the roof on it hopefully in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and then they'll start drying it out, and we're hoping maybe early January, middle of January of this coming year we'll be in it.
Because it's been relatively dry, I know we had some rain here toward the end of April into early May. Where are they in terms of the schedule on the project?
Well, I understand they're right on time. We're doing great. And hopefully with some good warm weather and good dry weather, we'll even be that much further ahead.
On another topic, I guess that's related to the jail, I saw that on the agenda there is an agreement with Montgomery County.
Yeah, we had an agreement with Montgomery County, Mason County, and I think Fleming County yesterday we addressed. And that's pretty much typical memorandum of agreements that you sign every year, that you're willing to take their prisoners, or they're willing to take your prisoners if you have problems.
And you've got contracts, I think, with other counties too,
yes,
as well, right?
Yes.
All right. And this is just something in case there's an overrun. I guess I know that some of these counties, like Fleming, doesn't have a jail,
but
Mason
have a jail.
Does.
Menifee doesn't have a jail. Mason does have a jail, smaller jail. Of course, Lewis County's got a jail, small one. Montgomery County, we actually signed one with them as well, so they do have a jail. So we think with the surrounding counties, with most of them not having jails, and the ones that do, except for Montgomery County, has a smaller jail. Well, we're going to be the largest jail probably in the region when we finish ours.
And that'll be not quite 300 beds.
About 270, but 275, somewhere in that range. But you can put those what they call floats, like little bunks that you put on the floor, and you can hold up at around 340, we think. We hope we don't have to get to that. We're planning on hoping being close to 300.
I was thinking about this the other day because of the issues with overcrowding at all the jails around the state, all the prisons.
Yes.
I mean, this is a problem. I would think almost from the day that this new jail opens here in Rowan County, you may be at capacity.
We could be. It would be nice to be there. Of course, we'll have to hire a few more people and try to get this place up to where we got everybody trained and how everything works. It's going to be a new facility, basically new electronics, new video surveillance of prisoners, and it'll take a little time to teach our inmates how to run the place as well, and not inmates, but I mean our staff, and we don't want the inmates to run the place, excuse me on that. I guess they do at some jails, but we're not going to let that happen here.
You mentioned personnel, that you'll have to add some personnel. I know there's some decisions you had to make regarding the jail staff members in terms of maybe some promotions, maybe how many people you might need when the new place opens up. Have you made some of those decisions?
Well, we've budgeted for a certain amount. We're hoping, along with the jailer, he tells us he can maybe cut that down to some, but it's just a matter of it's better to be prepared than not be prepared, and he's going to have some of these people trained. He's going to promote some within. There'll be some new hires, but we're going to try to bring those on as the capacity increases. You'll bring more people on.
Will there be a training period between the time that you close the old jail and you open the new one, so you can take staff members over there and maybe get them used to the facility a bit? Or
I doubt if we will have much training. I think we'll probably go right on into it. That we may try to get some training, maybe not in the jail, but maybe even parts of the jail as it's fixed, be able to take people through and kind of show them and get them some training. But as far as that place being open, not holding prisoners, that won't happen very often.
I know that your jailer, Wes Coldiron, goes over there on a regular basis to kind of watch things.
Wes is doing a great job for us. I hear good things. We're out working the inmates. We actually were using some yesterday to try to fix the roof on the art center. They do a lot of mowing for us around the courthouse. They do a lot of good things. I think people like to see those individuals out here kind of earn their keep as well. And it's good for the inmates.
For them to be out and maybe get something else to do besides sit in the cell.
Exactly.
And, you know, maybe develop some habits that they can use when they get out of jail.
And actually, we've hired some people to work at the dog pound occasionally that have come out to give them a job, give them a chance to get started. And I've got some that probably already would have asked me if they can come over there and work at the animal shelter when they get out.
How's it going over there? We haven't talked about the
dog
pound for a
while.
We're
doing very well. We hired three. I think we authorized four more people. We got some people on vacation, some people when they work here during college, and then they take off during the summers. So we've got some individuals that we've authorized to be hired and at least go through all the testing and everything, drug testing and all that. We are doing well. We did a little small project over there, laid some concrete down so that we can clean up the runs a lot easier. And it's not letting this stuff run into the ground. You can scoop it up and get rid of it, and then you can wash it down and keep some of the diseases down, like parvo and stuff. We made a little progress over there. I didn't spend a lot of money and mainly used our own inmates and our own staff people.
It's interesting. You mentioned that. I was thinking about the Animal Control Center in the sense that I think one time we talked here a few months ago about, and people may not realize this, there were some horses, I guess, that people had just dumped or just let go, and you had to take them to the animal shelter. And do you still have that issue from time to time? Or?
I think it was this week or last week, there were two horses out on 801 that were in the road, and we went out. You don't want people running over them and damaging their cars or even causing a severe accident for people. So we sent our people out there to capture them and bring them in. We had another place to take them this time. We're not going to get – the animal shelter is really not equipped for it. We found someone that would keep them at a barn for a few days until we can find the owners or until we can adopt them or sell them.
On another matter, just kind of looking here at the agenda again, you dealt with the fiscal 2017-18 budget, the second reading, which finalizes the budget, correct?
Yes, we had a final reading of that, made a couple of small amendments. Gave the extension people another $20,000. That's what they requested in their budget. We had them $120,000, and we put them up to the $140,000. They had some good evidence, I think, to show that they needed the money for training, they needed the money for travel, they need the money to make sure these programs, especially the younger children here in the community, the 4-H the camp, and they do the bow and arrow competition. And they also have gun shooting at some of the ranges. And those projects are well worth the money because anytime you can keep a child, as I was told, idle hands are the devil's hands. So if you keep them busy, they don't get in trouble. So I was able to get at least two other members to vote with me on that. And then we had we for some reason left the fair board, the JC fair board, off of the and I told my treasurer to put it in the initial budget, but for some reason it got left out, and we made an amendment and gave them up to the, I think they wanted $5,000, we were able to give them $4,000.
The budget is something that I know it's almost like a living document in the sense that occasionally during the fiscal year you have to go back and amend it.
Yeah, well, basically your budget is just a planning document. You plan on how much money you think is going to come in, you hope is going to come in, and you put that against what your costs are to run government, the salaries, the bonding, the all those different things, the interest that we're going to be paying on the jail, all that stuff's figured in. We're in pretty good shape. We've got quite a bit over $2 million in carry forward that can be used in cases, and we can come back and look at that. And that's not every government has that, but still, when you've got anything can happen, and you need to be prepared, and that's why we try to hold on to some of that money and keep it back in case we do have an emergencies.
What was the carryover again?
I think my treasurer told me it's around $2.7 million right now, so we're doing pretty good.
And people probably wonder about that in the sense, well, why are you not spending it? But you made a good point there that you never know what can occur during the year, whether it might be a natural disaster or a man-made disaster or just anything unforeseen.
You just don't know. I mean, you're building a new jail, and something could go amiss on that. We may not be able to get it open when we'd like to. You'd still have to start paying the debt on it. You'd still have to do pay the interest, pay the principal. You would also probably have to train some of those people when you do get it open. So there's always a possibility you may need more money. I think we may try to put a little more money into Blacktop. If we can, of course, we can do that every time we meet. We can kind of address those things, and if we think we need more, if the roads are in worse shape than what we think they are, we could always come in and take some of that money and put in the transportation budget and go ahead and do some additional blacktopping. My magistrate, that's probably the most important thing they do. That's the most important thing they see is taking care of their people, is making sure the county roads are passable and in good shape.
I know that over the years, didn't mean to interrupt you a moment ago, that the county has worked to whittle down continually the number of gravel roads it has, make sure it has more paved roads.
Most of our gravel roads tend to be cemetery roads. I mean, we just haven't. Again, they're not used that much except for funerals and you know, your Memorial Day, those kinds of things. So we try to at least get some rock on them, some gravel on them to make sure they're passable during those times. You know, if there's a funeral or a burial, we'll try to get our people up there to make sure that it's passable for the people and they can bid farewell to their family members or friends.
You got a nice break this year with the weather during the winter that didn't Wonderful. Beat up the road so Wonderful. Badly, so you can probably save some money there.
Actually, we've saved quite a bit of money because we didn't have to. We got probably over 600 tons of salt. Actually, we just got a bid from CACO, and the Kentucky Organization of Counties, Kentucky Association of Counties. Our bid on a ton of salt, I think, is about $62 a ton. So, I mean, that's about a $12 drop in the cost of per ton, which adds up. We may look at trying to even build another salt dome ourselves, not a dome, but at least a salt place where we can put our salt, keep it out of the weather. And maybe at this way these prices are, it'd be maybe wise to do that. We may save some money and have another. We've got room out there. We could probably add another one. So
in the long run, it'd probably save you money, right?
Oh yeah, you know it'd save you money because you wouldn't. If you can buy it at $62 a ton versus $70, $80 sometimes. Well, I know the highest I think we paid was around $80 at one time. That's when we had the severe winters and everybody needed salt, and the price goes up.
Before I let you get away from the budget issue, how much was the total budget this year?
Well, I think it's around $12.5 million. I think I don't have that right in front of me, Chuck. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. I just wanted to double check, but
that's a rough idea.
Okay.
What the budget is.
All right. There was something we were talking about roads here a moment ago, and I saw on the agenda as well that you dealt with something, rural secondary program agreement and resolution. This is just over $119,000.
You take some of your road funds that you're going to receive, and you let the cabinet take that money, and they hold the money, and then if there's an emergency, if we have a bridge that goes out, then we can apply for that money. I think they take about 3% of your county's monies, or county transportation dollars, and in turn, we can go and request that at an 80-20 match. So it's money well spent in case you have a bridge. You know, look at Atlanta, what happened there with their bridge. I mean, if you didn't have some kind of contingency funds to go back there and be able to fix that, you know, how long would it be before people can actually get around that city? And same thing for us. I mean, you don't want to lock people out of their land, make them have to walk across the creek. So we think that's money well invested, and we've used that money in the past 2 years. We've redone several of our bridges, and we've used that bridge money for that.
Again, our guest today on the front page, Rowan County Judge Executive, Dr. Walter Blevins. We'll go ahead and step away for just a moment. Come back with more right after this.
WMKY serves the region with news and entertainment showcasing our rich Appalachian heritage. WMKY broadcasts at 90.3 FM from the historic campus of Morehead State University. We value your comments and ask that you take a moment to share your feedback on our programming. Use the comment form found under the support tab on our website, wmky.org. Thanks for listening to WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at wmky.org.
Welcome back to today's front page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Our guest is Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. And Doc Blevins, as we discuss other matters regarding the county and the agenda from this past week's meeting, saw something in regards to a Judicial Center AOC reimbursement form.
We do things for the Judicial Center. We do the repairs, we do the utilities, and then we apply for reimbursement from the AOC for those. They basically pay us to use that building. And we take that money and in turn pay the debt service, pay us back for whatever repairs were put into it. So that's just a document we sign that allows them to us basically to let them use that building and pay us rent.
Okay. And then also this kind of caught my eye, something in regards to the Kentucky Climate Center at Western Kentucky University.
For some reason, they didn't show up. We've got one of those here in Round County already, and they've had some real tough times with the budget process, and I think they were trying to look and see if the county could give them some money to help them maintain what we have here. They're called mezzanettes, I think is the name, proper name for it. They do wind and humidity and rainfall, that type of thing. They can kind of get a better handle on predicting the weather with these kinds of facilities. And there's several of them across the state. One, we're lucky to have one here in Round County.
If I remember right, the one that we have here in Round County isn't that old.
No, it's not that old, but again, they're kind of in a tough bind because of the budget cuts. They're looking for dollars any way they can, and for some reason, he didn't make it yesterday morning, and so I don't have much to tell you about that right now.
Construction continues all over the county. I mean, it's a busy place, isn't it?
It is a busy place. We're tickled to see all this progress here in the county. Of course, we're getting the increase in the payroll tax. Anytime somebody's here, either whether they're doing a pipeline or they're building a church, they're building the hospital's pavilion, they're with the KCTCS, Advanced Manufacturing. Each one of those people out there working, we get a little bit piece of that, but at the same time, it's going to create jobs in the future and hopefully some good-paying jobs. I'm on the Economic Development Board. We've got some people that hopefully in the next few weeks maybe I'll sign some documents and we'll have some pretty good announcements to be made for Round County. Hopefully it'll go along with some of these other announcements that are in the region here.
I don't think I can remember a time since I've been here, and that's been since November of 1986, where I've seen more construction going on at any one time here in Round County than what we have right
it's
now.
It's about $180 million. I'd say you probably have to go back when Adrian Dorn was the president of the university when they did a lot of the major building here. They may have got close to those figures, but with the hospital, the community and technical college, with the new about a $4 million church where they're building out there where I go to church at Better Life, with the KCTCS and with what the university, with all the construction they've done, it's been a terrific year for us and a terrific 2 years.
I would say if someone came back to this town who hadn't been here in the last 4 or 5 years, they might not recognize things in some ways.
They would be hard-pressed to find some things. Some of that, especially on campus, have been torn down. Those buildings they're not up to standard, and it was going to be more expensive to renovate than it was to build new facilities and better facilities. So the president takes a little heat over that sometimes, but You know, he's got a board. They've got to decide what's best for the community, what's best for the university, and I think most of those decisions have been correct.
You touched on something regarding economic development here, and I'm just kind of curious how all this construction might impact that. Does that say something to people who might be looking to locate a company or a business here?
I think it does. I think anytime you see a community on the growth going forward, moving up the ladder and seeing new buildings, new facilities, that's a step in the right direction. Another thing we're working on is, of course, to get the Kentucky Wired program or Kentucky Wired broadband, high-speed broadband. We think that's going to be a real economic development tool. Actually, I'm in some conference talks with Kentucky Wired about an opportunity, and we're going to look at that opportunity. We may be able to pretty much give us I think there's 244 strands in the fiber, and we're going to be 244, and I think we can do while they're stringing this stuff, we can purchase it and we can have another 144 strands of black fiber and broadband. And it would be ours for the next 20, 30 years. We'd have to finance it. It's going to be around anywhere from probably $150,000 up to maybe $300,000. But again, that's something that'll last you for many years. You might have to. I think we have to pay $20,000 a year to maintain it for in case something breaks. You've got money there to take care of it. A lot of the other communities are looking to do that. It would be a real attraction to some high tech companies, call centers, those types of things that could basically have high-speed broadband, have their own mechanism, and basically we could turn around and set up some kind of a corporation. The mayor and I have talked about trying to do this, and we're trying to. The problem we got right now is we've got to move real quickly. If we don't move quickly, we'll miss that opportunity because it's fairly reasonable compared. They're just mainly charging us for the amount of for the fiber itself. And not the laying of, because they're going to lay it as while they're doing theirs. So it's an opportunity we're looking, maybe taking advantage of.
A couple of minutes left. Where do things stand in terms of Rowan County and this Kentucky Wired program?
Well, I keep hearing hopefully August, September, we're going to be wired up. And again, what we're trying to do is to, if we, while they're putting this wire in, if we can go ahead and get another 144 fibers, which would be ours, dedicated just to us. I mean, we could sell it to whoever we want to sell it to. We could give it to whoever we want to give it to. But hopefully we can sell it and help us pay the debt that we're going to incur. But it's a step in the right direction. It's about 17 miles of line from one end of the county to the other. We're looking at maybe cutting that down and maybe at least run it to the city, run it up to the industrial park, and cut that cost down significantly, but still have the ability to have more lines that we can attract industry with.
What was the cost again?
I think it was around maybe $300,000 if we went from one end of the county to the other along 60. That's the direction it's going to go. And it's about $3 to $4 per foot that we'd have to pay. And the figures he's going to send those to me hopefully today, but just ballpark figures is around $300,000. That's a lot of money. But I think it would be a real good tool to look at other industries and say, hey, man, they've got a lot of broadband here. From what I've been told, this is much bigger than what the city of Chicago has. So maybe we can attract some real high-tech industries to come to this region.
You mentioned that. It was kind of along the lines of what I was just thinking, in the sense that if you're going to attract 21st century high-tech industry or businesses, you have to have this type of service.
If you don't have it, they're not coming. It's that simple. Of course, no, we're going to have some of those lines will be used for the university, for the courthouse, for community and technical school, PVA's office, all those the court system. Those lines are already be run, and they're going to be paid for by the state, Kentucky Wire. And in turn, there's going to be some free on there that the Kentucky Wire will be able to sell, and they'll offset what their part of their investment is. This company that's financing it. And if we can put our own in, we can in turn do the same thing and sell it and use it as hopefully a carrot to bring some people to the community.
Judge, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thank you, Chuck. Have a good day.
Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. We'll see you next time.